So we come to the end of this section of the 23rd chapter of Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus has had some less than nice things to say about the scribes and the Pharisees. Sometimes we can have the incorrect image of who Jesus is and how he relates to the people. These are some very harsh words he had for them, calling them hypocrites. Now, sometimes we use that word today. Maybe we will accuse ourselves of being hypocritical when we go to confession, or we get in a fight with our friend, or oftentimes teenagers would like to accuse their parents of being hypocrites because they don't live up to the standard. But when Jesus is calling them hypocrites, he's saying, like, you really are living a double life. The word was used to describe actors on the stage. And in that time, they often would wear a mask as a depiction of the character that they were playing. So there really were two people there, we could say. The real person and then the character. And this is what Jesus is accusing the Pharisees and the scribes of. Not that they failed to live up to the ideal, but that they almost, like you could say, they didn't want to. That they had a public persona of one thing, but their real life, their private life, was completely different. And that they were putting on airs, this mask of the righteousness on the outside, because it made them better in the eyes of the people. It gave them honor and privilege. But they didn't really believe in the things that they taught. It was very harsh words he had. Whitewashed tombs. The reason why the tombs were whitewashed, because if you touched the dead or anything pertaining to the dead, it made you ritually unclean, so you were unable to go to the temple and offer your sacrifice. So they would paint the tombs bright white so that you would be clearly know where they were, so you wouldn't touch them. And he was saying, look how beautiful those tombs are, so nice and bright and white, but inside is death. That's what he was accusing them of. So the warning for all of us, those of us who are in leadership in the church, those of you in leadership in your family, but just all of us have to be on guard against becoming a whitewashed tomb. But we also have to remember that Jesus is God, and God is love, and God sent his Son because he loves the world, and he sent his Son to redeem the world. He sent his Son to gather the lost sheep, to heal those who were sick and broken, to call back those who were wandering and lost. So even in these harsh words to the Pharisees and scribes, because this is the very end of his life, this is that last point of Christ's life before the Passion, he's trying, we can say, to shock them, to challenge them, to convert their hearts, to let them see the error of their ways. And so sometimes in our own life, we face the reality of that. And it can be a difficult thing to experience, the reality of the sin in our life. But it's done as an act of love on God's part, as he's calling us back to the fullness of the relationship for which we were created, the desires of our hearts. The responsorial psalm could be a very beautiful thing or maybe a scary thing. Psalm 139, you searched me and you know me. Maybe you've had that experience of talking to someone and you feel like they could read your soul. And if your soul's in a good space, it's okay. But if you're hiding a secret or if you've got some darkness in there, it kind of puts you off a little bit. But the Lord knew the Pharisees because he could read their souls. The Lord can read our souls, and it should be a beautiful thing, even if it's a scary thing, because he calls out to us from the darkness that we may be in into that wonderful light. And so St. Paul was saying, As you know, we treated each of you as a father treats his children, as God treats us. We exhorted you and we encouraged you, insisting that you walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his kingdom and his glory. What a beautiful thing that part of our lives as disciples, again, we all have different states in our life, but we're all called to be apostles, to be proclaimers of the truth, that we all should be exhorting and encouraging and insisting that we all walk in a manner worthy of the one who calls us. And this is, he gives us the secret. So he says, you've received the word from us, not just as words of men, because we all know how easy it is to be intrigued, to be enticed by the sweet-sounding words of those beautiful preachers who tickle our ears and inflate our hearts and inflate our own reputations and make us feel good about ourselves. And we like the way that he preaches or the way that he teaches. And maybe not so much what God is talking to us. But St. Paul said the church in Thessalonica wasn't like that. They received the words as God, as the word of God, which is now at work in you who believe. And so we pray for this grace that the opening prayer tells us, amid the uncertainties of this world, we pray for the grace to hear his word and allow his word to take root, to work amazing things in our hearts so that we don't become whitewashed tombs, that we move out of hypocrisy into the truthfulness, the single-minded devotion to the one true God. Opening prayer said that we want to be in that one place with the one thing, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus is the Word of God. We pray that amid the uncertainties of this world, that the Word of God dwells deeply and richly within us. It works within us, keeping us in that wonderful light.